This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to episode 10 of Avenger Radio, your home of all things Avondale FC, coming to you live on FNR. My name is Branson Gibson. I'm joined by FNR's Josh Parrish. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening, Branson. Another episode. 10 weeks in the books.
I know, right?
It's crazy. It's gone so quickly.
Amazing. On the way to 50 or who knows? I don't know. 10's a good number. Big show ahead of us, Josh. We'll take a look at a heartbreaking defeat to Green Gully on the weekend, as well as discuss what that loss means heading into the last seven or so games of the season. We'll also break down another huge win for our senior women's team against Point Cook. And we'll be joined by guests tonight, Scott Hillier, Nicole Scarpiano, and Sally O'Brien. But before we get into things, we would like to say a big thank you to all our sponsors, in particular to Underground Cable Systems, Goldfields, Truck Electrics, Elite Management Group, Cedar Hospitality, Sheridan Homes, 3L Alliance, ProBuild, Two Bros Construction, Indeco, and ANZ. So jumping in to the loss, or sorry, the result on the weekend, it was a 2-1 loss to Green Gully. In the studio with us to talk about the loss and the game overall, we are joined by defender Scott Hillier. Good evening, Scott.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. Good.
That's good. How'd you pull up after the weekend?
Yeah, pulled up all right, to be honest. Like you say, a bit disappointing with the result, but I think we've moved on from it already, so.
That's good. Did you manage to dry off all right after the heavy rain on the cold and wet Saturday arvo?
Those are some terrible conditions, but look, it's what footy throws at you sometimes. So
I imagine that would be pretty familiar from conditions back home.
Yeah, it's pretty close to a typical winter game back home. So like it's not great to play in, but sometimes get used to it back in New Zealand.
That's good. A little bit of maybe an advantage. Who knows? But anyway, so sort of taking a look at the game, sort of starting from the start. So tell us what you thought of it, because coming into the game, obviously it was a big matchup, Gully, a fellow top six side. Things got off to a good start. I mean, Liam Boland netted the opener in the 10th minute, and things were looking good. I mean, is that how you felt?
Yeah, I think it was like the first half. It was probably a bit open for our liking, to be honest. Like you say, we got off to a good start, but yeah, we would have liked to have been sort of more in control. Moving on into the second half, we sort of discussed that at halftime, and yeah, it was disappointing to concede when we did, because I feel like personally we were in control of that second half, and to concede in the last minute, you know, it's always a tough one to take. So,
well, sort of jumping back a little bit, what did you think of Boland's goal? Because it was pretty snazzy. Unleashed a couple of fancy step overs there. Good finish.
Yeah, it was a good finish. Yeah, yep. I'll give it to him. He threw it up on his Instagram page as well. Yeah. So no, he loves it. He loves it. But good on him. He's there to do a job up top, isn't he? So he's going well. So appreciate it from him.
And you mentioned that equaliser, and you know the first half was maybe a little bit more open than we would have liked. Did you feel that the equaliser was coming before it happened? Because Gully seemed to be doing quite well at controlling the ball or sort of having a bit more possession. Did you feel like that goal was inevitable or coming at all?
I still felt fairly comfortable with the back with Reedy, but like you say, I think we probably weren't picking up that second ball in the midfield as much as we would have liked to have done. So considering that, yeah, look, it's always going to be difficult not to concede, but like again, just got to be ready for it.
And sort of talking about the goal a bit more specifically, what do you reckon went wrong? Obviously, you as a defender, What do you reckon went wrong for us to concede that? Because Brennan was played through quite nicely and sort of threw on goal. What went wrong?
You're talking about the first or second goal?
The first goal, sorry.
First goal. Probably just got pulled out of position, a few of us. I remember the goal sort of, it's come down to a bit of a scrap in the midfield, and I've been out sort of winning the first ball. But then me and Shawnee tried to play some nice little cute passes, and it's been intercepted. And then we've probably been a bit too stretched there, to be honest. They've just sliced the ball through the defence, and they've obviously got on the end of it and scored. So.
And what did you make of sort of Green Gully's approach to the game? Because you've been used to a lot of teams sitting in against you, especially in the second half of the season. Maybe Green Gully didn't quite conform to the stereotype of what you've been coming up against in past weeks. Obviously, they did a lot of defending, but you know, maybe less so than some of the teams have really tried to park the bus.
Yeah, like we do expect that from teams parking the bus now that they know sort of the way we play. We like to control the ball, so a lot of teams are trying to catch us on the counter. We did know Gully had a strong midfield, so we probably expected them to come out like they did. We probably just didn't adapt to it as well as what we could have done.
Another sort of talking point from the first half as well, Yitay Towns was forced off with an injury. Do we have any update or any word on how serious that might be? Is he going to be back this week or not too sure?
It's probably not looking great at the moment, but we'll just have to wait and see some final reports from him, and we'll go from there.
Easy. Well, in the second half as well, so sort of moving on, generally I seem to talk about the weather quite a bit, but in this case I think, you know, the weather was sort of genuinely worth talking about. I mean, it was extremely wet on the weekend, in particularly in the second half. Have you played in a wetter game than that? You sort of hinted that it's sort of like a typical New Zealand winter footballing day.
Yeah, struggled to think of a game when I've come across those conditions for a while now. Probably playing in hail back in New Zealand would nearly compare to it, but
doesn't sound fun.
Like saying that, it was strong. You could even see in the second half when Oldie was he literally couldn't set the ball to take a goal kick at the time. The wind was strong. It was hard to play into. But then I feel like we adapted to it. We probably played our best half comparing the two halves together. So yeah.
Does it change your approach at all when the conditions are so extreme? Do you take less risks with, you know, maybe diving in for balls, or does it change your strategy as a defender? Because obviously those conditions can cause, you know, errors at the back.
Not for us. No, we were sort of happy to keep the ball on the deck because we know that's the way we like to play. So you can't really look at it as a favour having those conditions against you, but it's sort of in our game plan to keep the ball on the deck as much as possible, so we can get by those sort of conditions at times. But then when you're sort of going for the clearance balls and bits like that to just clear your lines, it doesn't help when it's just coming back over the top of your head. So
the weather wouldn't necessarily have a huge influence on our game plan. Would you say that, like, you know, we're not necessarily a good wet weather team, but it doesn't really alter our strategy too much if you're saying that, you know, we like to play the ball on the deck and when it's wet that sort of helps it a little bit? Or
we weren't looking to change anything when we came out from the second half. The message was just to go back to our usual game plan. So to answer that question, now I think with any conditions we're just trying to play it on the deck.
And Liam Boland had a pretty massive opportunity to equalise in the second half. I think it was that toe poke. It was rolling in slow motion towards the goal, about off the post. Did you think it was going in? Because it looked like it was going in on the stream, I have to say.
Yeah, I was pretty much right behind him. I heard the crowd go off, and then I saw the ball go past the post, and everyone just gave it the big old ooh. But I personally thought it was quite close as well. So having the angle behind them, look, we've been unlucky there, but with the crowd with the late reaction, it's always funny to listen to that.
Well, I thought it was in. I was there. I was part of that crowd. It's sort of rolling and go like, that's in, and then it just sort of didn't go in, and you're like, oh, bananas. I don't know.
I take it Boland didn't put that one on his Instagram.
Not on his Instagram, that one, no.
Well, what about Alex Salmon? Because Alex Salmon for Green Gully, he also hit the post down the other end a little bit later. Did you think that one was going in? Or were we lucky on that instance? He's sort of the sliding effort because it looked like he got to it and then it hit the post and fortunately went straight back to the welcoming arms of Chris Oldfield.
Yeah, always lucky on when the ball comes off the post. You never know which way it's going to go. So yes, we were lucky on it. Probably could have been avoided by some better picking up of the man. Mm. But yeah, like coming off the post, we've been lucky by it. So lucky Oldie was there to pick up the second ball.
Speaking of Alex Salmon, obviously he's been a star player for Green Gully. He's done stuff late in games, week in, week out. What is your approach when you're playing against a striker like him? Because obviously, you know, it's a challenge coming up with someone of that pedigree.
Yes, No, he's sort of the quiet type of striker. Mm. You know, he just pops up at the right time for his team, which is the striker you like to have in your team. Mm. You know, defending wise, it's always tough to know when he's going to pop up, you know.
Does it become a bit of a mental challenge to keep track of him because he's such a poacher, if you will?
Yes, that probably just comes down to concentration, you know. Mm. You just have to be on the mark all the time during the game. Can't miss it, miss that split second sort of decision. Those type of strikers are tough to keep track on during the games.
And so sort of talking about Alex Salmon popping up at crucial moments, let's sort of chat about what was probably the main talking point of the game in a late stoppage time winner for Green Gully. It was a costly turnover sort of coming out of the midfield, went straight to Salmon. He popped up in the right place at the right time. A nice little 1-2 sort of slipped in through, skipped past Reedy's last-ditch challenge and then slotted the ball past Oldfield. I mean, costly turnover and a pretty tough way to lose a game. But how close were you to clearing the ball off the line? Because watching the stream, it looked like you were sort of close. Were you? Or
like I was almost getting a toe on it, to be honest. I was that close. So, it was a tough one to take. It was a tough one to take. It was probably a bit of a weak turnover, but look, we've addressed it. Not blaming anyone, you know.
What happens.
Yeah, split-second decisions in the game, and sometimes they go your way, sometimes they don't. So, going back to my sliding challenge, I thought I was going to get there, to be honest. But then if I was to get there, you don't know if I was to end up scoring that own goal or not. So.
Oh, it's already going on target, I suppose. But, you know, I mean, we've heard a lot from other players who come in here about the strong character of the group and the great atmosphere in the dressing room. Obviously, you know, it's going to be devastating losing a game late like that. But what's been the response sort of since?
Look, to be honest, I feel like we've turned that one round quite well. We've bounced back. We've got through the Monday session. We've already blown it off, really. So, and that was already, I think, in our minds straight after the game. You know, we were all saying, look, we're ready for Monday. This was probably 10 minutes after the game. So I suppose that's what you get with a side that's looking to win titles, you know. Just know how to right the wrongs, basically.
So it's probably not tremendously helpful, us reliving every tiny detail on the radio. But, I mean, that speaks to us. Is that something that comes from the coaching staff, from the big players in the dressing room?
Yeah, look, it's the good thing about it, I think it's coming from everyone in the dressing room. The coaches are the sort of the ones that are driving it through us. But, like I say, we've got a good bunch of boys there. And the message is literally, I think you can see just with the attitude when they're turning up the trainings, it's just coming from everyone. Everyone on the training pitch, everyone on during the game. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, we're going to relive the tough loss a little bit more because it was, to be honest, a missed opportunity. So a win here, obviously Bentley losing to Dandenong on the Friday night. A win would have seen us open an 8-point gap to Bentley and sort of increase that lead over Heidelberg. How concerning do you reckon it is that we weren't able to get that sort of key result when we needed it?
Like you can look at it probably two ways. Like if we were to get the result, we would have been flying. But well, I think we're still in the driver's seat, so it's still in our hands. And like those results are the ones you could look back on and say that's where we've won the league or we've lost the league, you know. So yeah, fingers crossed. It's where we look back on and say, look, that's where we just go from now, and we get the results from now as well. So just got to turn it back around, don't we?
Well, we've had a couple of chances where Heidelberg and Bentley have dropped points, yeah. And we've had a chance to really sort of open up that gap before this week. So, I mean, don't want to sort of lay it on you with all the tough questions, but, I mean, at what stage does, you know, are we going to be made to pay for those missed opportunities? Does it weigh on your mind that, you know, we yeah. could have been potentially 8, 10, 12 points clear, but instead we're only 5, potentially less, with Heidelberg having a game in hand?
Does, but it's just the way footy goes, really. You know, you can't, this league here, the NPL, as you've seen with Bentley, you know, they've lost to the last team in the, well, last place team.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Now they're out of the automatic drop zone. So does it just speak to the depth in the competition this season? Because we've seen so many upsets.
Yeah, I think it does. I think you can see teams here, the longer they're in games, yeah, the more danger you're in, basically. You need to be able to put them away in the games, and any team in the competition, if they're in a game, that yeah, you're never sure on a result until the whistle blows, basically. So, look, yeah, honestly, I think there's still going to be a lot of sort of different results in the last coming 8 weeks. So hopefully we're on the right receiving end of them, but, like, it's footy, so...
And that pretty much shapes this night's game coming up on Friday. It becomes even bigger. I mean, have you been turning your thoughts to that one yet?
Yeah, we've turned our thoughts straight onto it. Like on Monday's last night's session, we've already sort of looking forward to the game on how we're going to sort of manage them and come up against another strong opponent. So, yeah, yeah.
Is it a source of motivation, you know, obviously with the FFA Cup exit, you know, going back to Knights Stadium and trying to maybe prove a point? Or is it just one game in the league, another 3 points, opportunity to go out there and play? Or is there a little bit of, you know, extra spice to this one?
Oh, like I'd have to say 100% there's a little bit of extra spice to this one coming, but I guess we'll wait and see and find out on Friday night.
What are we expecting from the Knights? And what can we learn from that FFA Cup loss to them? What can we take from the way they played in that game and utilise it to our advantage this week?
Yeah, you can always just expect the Knights to come out very physical. They are a very direct team. They've got, obviously, Hamish Watson, who I know quite well, up top for them, and he's always been the striker that has liked to receive the ball early and sort of look to play off that, so... He's good at what he does. Don't want to put him up too much because he could be tuning in. But yeah, just considering the team they've got, I think we know how they're going to come out, what they're going to do. So it's just hoping we can match them with what they do and then play our game as well.
You've had a few physical battles with Hamish Watson in the past on the field, I understand?
Yes, yeah, yep. No, I have. So last game he actually got me a good one. So I'm looking forward to coming up against him on Friday night.
Does the fact that we are coming in off a loss add more pressure?
Nah, not at all. Look, it's like going back to what we were saying before, it's every game there's teams that are going to be able to knock you off. So the pressure of it's always going to come with that, with a top spot. You know, you're always being the one hunted. So there's a little bit of pressure with that. But I feel like we've been dealing with it well so far. And considering how we've got through Green Gully already, so I think we've dealt with sort of the pressure that we might have put on ourselves or not put on ourselves. But yeah.
Well, I think with that, we'll go to a quick break. We've got a huge game, obviously, coming up this Friday against the Knights. So the hard part's done, Scott. The grilling is over after the post-mortem from the weekend. Now we turn our attentions ahead to the game on Friday and also to your career and your footballing journey. So we're going to take a very short break, listen to a few commercials, and we'll come back and learn a little bit more about Scott Hillier.
Avenger Radio on FNR. Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Avenger Radio, coming to you live on FNR. My name is Branson. I'm here with Josh talking all things Avondale FC. Scott Hillier is hanging around with us. Thanks for sticking around, Scott.
No dramas at all.
Thank you. Sorry, I don't know. That was really weird. So we had a bit of a in-depth breakdown of the game before. So we're not going to trouble you with any more super tough questions now. What we sort of want to do is try to get a bit more of an understanding of your career and sort of your journey to Australia and to Avondale in particular so far. So obviously you're from New Zealand. So whereabouts in New Zealand are you from?
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town in Metemeta. It's just it's in the Waikato, so it's about 2 hours south of Auckland in New Zealand, North Island.
Nice. And so how long have you been playing football for? So sort of tell us a little bit about your journey, your pathway, and what sort of got you into the sport at the start, and why soccer over rugby, or, I mean, who knows? Maybe not.
Soccer's always been there. I've always played it all my life. It's hasn't probably been a main focus of mine through the high school years. I was more of a middle-distance runner, to be honest, and I was only playing the odd first 11 game for my high school team. Soccer sort of made this decision to take it more seriously at university. When Shea Bunce came about with an academy called Waikato University Football Academy, he sort of got me going from there.
So what about your career sort of before that? So, like, you played before college or...?
Yes, always played for the Metemeta Swifts throughout my young years. So I was probably involved with the club from about 5 years old up until, I don't know, 12th grade. I can't remember what grade it was, but, yeah, Metemeta Swifts was my local homegrown club. And then sort of had to travel around a few clubs just with, obviously, growing into the studies with moving up to Hamilton for my last couple of years of high school, playing for St Paul's Collegiate, and then went on to with Melville United in the Hamilton area. So,
and so were you always a defender or?
No. Oh yeah, I actually started off as a striker way back in the day when I was young. I was scoring about 28 goals a season back then, so I was
flying.
Yeah, going back in the ranks, started off as a striker, went to centre midfielder for Melville United when I was at university, and running box to box there, basically just doing the mileage, and then moved back to right back, which I enjoyed a lot at right back, to be honest. You get a bit more freedom to get up and down there, and I feel like I've got a good motor from my running background. And then, two, three seasons ago, moved into the centre-back role.
So does defence, does it leave you with too much leftover energy? I mean, as a middle-distance runner, do you feel like you've got so much, stamina left that you don't know what to do with? Or
Like at the end of some games, I'm always sort of looking to do that extra bit if we are down, Like it's
emergency run up front.
Yeah, it's helped out with that stamina, but I don't think I'm going to get my chance up there anytime soon. So,
tell us a little bit more about the league set up in New Zealand, because you're sort of giving us a rundown of it before we came on air, and it's a little bit different to the way the leagues are structured here.
Yeah, a lot different at the moment. They're trying to get it to a similar point, but that's probably going to take a couple more years in the making. But back home, there's a winter league. So there's the Northern, I'm trying to think what they call it. The Northern League, there's the Central League, there's the Southern League. And then that goes probably similar timing to, it's not as long as the NPL here, but it'll probably start maybe a month or two later and finish maybe a month earlier. And then it goes into the Summer League, which starts about October. So the Summer League is more or less looked at the main league. It's the sort of the National League there.
And there's been a few good players who've come out, particularly from the Summer League, and have actually come across to Australia in recent years, including yourself?
Yes. There's a there's a few boys out there that we're going to hopefully try to catch up with. Tom Buss is doing well for East End Lions, and like the likes of Hamish Watson and the boys at Werribee City, with Jake Butler and Julian Collette. Yeah, I think boys like to get the opportunity to come across here. And even with Luke Adams and Eager, they've both come from New Zealand, and it's good to sort of make that reputation for the New Zealand players to be able to come across and, yeah, just give back to the club that sort of, because we are looked at visa players as well, so it is tough to come across and secure a spot over here in a good team.
How hard is it to make that move from New Zealand to Melbourne? Because this is the first time that you played outside of New Zealand, is that correct?
No. I've been outside New Zealand a couple of times. Oh,
fair question, there you go. No good.
I've been to America to just play a semester over there at the university. That was a great experience.
What university?
Went to UNCW, so University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Just there for their sort of pre-season phase, and like, yeah, it was just gym, you know, and a few games on the side, but no, I loved it. It got me into the gym a bit. So, but then I've been across here for Richmond as well.
Oh, yep.
So I played NPL 2 for them. That season was a bit of a downward spiral when I arrived, but like, it was a good experience, and I love Melbourne, so I was always looking to come back. And I had Savis, who's sort of helped me find clubs over here and helped me with Avondale, basically. So when Avondale came about, I was buzzing to take the opportunity.
How have you found things at Avondale since you joined the club?
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's a good club. They do the right things on and off the field, especially in the background. There's a lot of people doing the hard yards, and they're trying to, obviously, as you can see, they're growing for the future. So, it's nice to be involved at the moment, and hopefully I can look to stay around and help them be successful on the field.
And speaking of, you know, your achievements, I mean, you've actually won a continental championship and been to the Club World Cup. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable experience, to be honest, playing LAN in the Club World Cup. It was actually the qualifying round for the Club World Cup, so we weren't into the main draw yet, but we were confident going into that game, to be honest, with Team Wellington. We had a good team, and we've been turning it on up to that game, and to be honest, we probably played our best half of football all season when we came up against them and we were up 3-1. The goal that sort of, when we killed ourselves with, we conceded just before half time, and if we went up 3-0 into half time, we would have held onto the game, but we ended up drawing that game 3-3, and then it went to extra time 3-3 and lost some penalties. So it's the worst way to lose, but then going through that tournament, we would have been coming up against the African champions, and we'd already looked ahead to a few of those games, so we were confident playing them, and it showed with LA and going on to beat them. So that was probably the most disappointing team, and I think they ended up going on to play Real Madrid. So,
yeah, I mean,
what could have been?
Was Abdul Rahman playing for them at that stage, or he already left?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty special player.
I'm sure
Socceroos fans would remember him from qualifiers past with his.
Yeah, and Marcus Berg played for Sweden.
Yeah,
up top, he was a good, very good striker. They're all sort of very flashy type of players. You know, they No, I think I'll leave it at that.
It doesn't sound like you're too impressed with him. Abdul Rahman, he's notorious for, you know, just staying at home in this very comfortable league and just doing basically street football tricks on a 11-a-side pitch.
Absolutely.
So was he probably trying to nutmeg you at every opportunity and so forth?
Or? Put him in a nutshell there. We watched so many games of theirs leading up to that game. We knew them inside out, and the Abdul Rahman, he was one of our main targets because we just knew he was so lazy.
Do you reckon
just walk around, you know, and he just thought he was the absolute boss, you know.
Do you reckon he could do it on a rainy day in Hamilton?
On Hamilton, no chance at all. No chance at all. No, he wouldn't even put a pair of boots on to walk out on the field in Hamilton.
So sort of jumping back to this season in particular, so you said you prefer playing at right back, but, you know, you spend some time in centre back. That sort of pairing with Matthew Reid has been pretty crucial this year. You guys have been great down back. How have you found playing with him and sort of that, trying to create that kind of, I don't know, partnership down back?
Yeah, no, it's been good. I feel like I get on with Reedy quite well off the field as well, so it's that's always a help to just be good mates on and off the field. You know, you can sort of give it to each other on the field when things aren't going right, and you know it's sort of just that lighthearted banter, you know. But I feel like me and Reedy have connected fairly well so far, and he's good to play alongside of because he likes to play with the ball at his feet as well for a big guy. And you always know that Reedy's going to win his challenges because he's obviously got that presence about him. So no, it's nice having that security behind beside you with him.
And what's it like with Chris Oldfield behind you? Is he a particularly shouty goalkeeper? Or?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And you probably hear that from a lot of the supporters as well when they're trying to give it to him on the field. But Oldie's he's a great leader from the back. It's he doesn't stop talking.
Does it ever get to the point like enough? I know.
Do you ever want to yell back?
It can always get close to the point, but like you can't stop communication. Communication's a massive thing on the field, so it's like if you turn around and tell them to shut up, you know, it's probably not going to help in the long run.
So taking a look at the defense as a whole, we're the highest scoring team. We've conceded the fewest goals in the league. How much of, you know, a point of pride is that for you as a defender?
Yeah, it is. It is. You can sort of hold your chest high knowing that. But even looking back at the goals, we as a team, we sort of feel we've given teams some goals that could have been not scored. So knowing that as well, I feel like we're just a hard team because we all work for each other on the field to break down. So it's always nice going into games knowing that.
Matthew Reid scored a few goals this year as well. Do you reckon that you're going to get up there and get a couple?
He used to score 28 goals a season.
I know.
I'm hoping so. I feel like I've been there or thereabouts. I feel like I was quite close on the weekend, actually. I've put a header just wide and could and maybe got to the ball that the keeper's just pinched off the top of my head as well. But look, it's just got to be the right moment, right time to score that goal. Often Reedy's making a good run, and so hopefully I can follow in his footsteps and get on the end of a ball sometime soon.
Are you going to take credit for any of those goals? Have you been a decoy runner for
actually,
Reedy?
Yeah. I definitely know there was one or two when I've blocked his man, and he's got free either on the back stick or the front stick, and he scored, and I definitely said it to him as well. I said, I'm claiming the assist for that, mate.
You don't have any side bets going with any midfielders or anything? You don't know, not like Reedy's bet with Yeete Towns?
No. I don't actually know about that bit, but I've
apparently Yeete has to peroxide dye his hair blonde if Reedy scores more goals than in this season, which is going to be tough now he's injured, I suppose.
Oh yeah, I've always sort of stuck to the word that if you don't score, you have to do a naked streak around the field at the end of the game.
Have you got one this year?
End of your last game. You wait.
That's on the to-do list?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the ninth this weekend. I mean, who knows, right?
Hasn't got the tick yet, so we'll see.
I think we'll leave it there. Scott Hillier, thank you so much for coming in studio and sharing some stories from your career and speaking out the season thus far. It's been an absolute pleasure, and best of luck on Friday.
No, easy. Thank you very much for that.
Scott Hillier joining us here on Avenger Radio. We're going to take another short break. After the break, we've got a big segment coming up on the women's team who had a huge win over Point Cook on the weekend.
Hello, everyone. Good evening and welcome back to episode 10 of Avenger Radio. My name is Branson. I'm here with Josh. Josh, we've had a look at the men's side, had a good chat to Scott Hillier, but now we want to move on, take a look at some of the junior results as well. So the junior boys were in action last week. They faced off against Ballarat City on a cold and wet Saturday. Unlucky that they didn't get to play on the Sunday. Sunday was quite nice, but Saturday, that's just the way it goes. But
Yeah, unfortunate. It was a rough day to play. I played my own, you know, amateur game, and we were just, yeah. I was wearing full thermals and skins. I don't know how the, you know, kids did it. Cause,
yep.
Did any of them get hypothermia? That's what I want to know.
I don't believe so.
Okay,
that wasn't in my notes.
Okay,
so
good.
As far as we can tell, we're all good. But it was a pretty good result despite the weather. The 13s had a 6-1 win. The 14s had an 8-0 win. The 15s had a 9-0 win, the 16s a 3-1 win, and the 18s had a 4-3 win.
So clearly tougher than I am, all of the junior players.
Yeah, well, our junior girls teams were also in action. The 12s had a 5-1 loss versus Williamstown, but the 14s had a 5-0 win against Kyneton. But now it's time to take a look at our women's team and chat about another super important result on the weekend. But first, we'd like to thank our women's sponsors, Architectural Home Designs, Action Industrial Supplies, Brad Teal Real Estate, Perfect Edge Carpentry, Anglers Tavern, and Underground Cable Systems. So taking a look at the results. So we came up against Point Cook, 3-0 win. To sort of chat to us about the result and break it all down and give us a good run through, we have Nicole Scarpiano and Sally O'Ryan here with us in the studio. Good evening, ladies.
Hello.
Good evening. Thanks for having us.
No problem. Thank you for coming in. How's it going?
Good.
Pretty good.
How was the game on the weekend? So you guys played on the Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So you definitely got the favourable of the weather conditions on the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. No rain.
No.
Which is good.
Still cold though.
Very windy as well.
That's all right, you know. So tell us about the game. So coming into the game, taking on Point Cook. So coming off the back of the Kyneton game, Kyneton sitting in second, we come up against Point Cook, who are in third. So
yeah.
How much importance was placed on this game coming into it?
I think quite a lot of importance was placed onto it.
Yep.
I knew coming into it that it was definitely going to be one of our most challenging games. Watching them play, or having played against them in the second round, I thought they were definitely one of our most competitive opponents to play against.
Mm. I think compared to Kyneton, I think that the Point Cook game was definitely more challenging. And I think that coming into the game, I think we were expecting that as well.
But not as much as
yeah.
what they showed.
And definitely. They're a bit of a different team this time around. They're signing, what, 5 or 6 new players since you played them last?
Yeah, we heard. Yeah,
oh,
definitely. Yeah, definitely showed. Nah.
Okay. That changes a lot then.
Yeah, well, it definitely showed in the game, like comparing to the first time we played them compared to the second time. Yeah, it was a bit of a difference that we were kind of expecting, but yeah, they came out firing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I just didn't notice that we've been 5 or 6 new faces, just, you know, opponents just nameless, shapeless shirts of a different colour. Just
oh, that's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, well, no, that's all right. So you mentioned that they were obviously a different outfit. How do you reckon we or our approach changed heading into this game, having, you know, learned a lot through the course of the season so far? How was our approach different this second time around? Was it different?
I think every game we go in with our heads screwed on, and we don't want to, you know, have too much of a big head, you know.
Yeah.
Even though we are top of the ladder, that doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that the bottom team can't score a goal against us. So I think before every game we try our hardest to, you know, get together as a team, say our goals for the game and what we want to achieve, and we try to achieve them as best as we can.
And how do you feel the team has gelled and improved together over the course of this season so far?
Oh, so well. We're like honestly, for me, I don't know about you, Sally, but I think this is the team where
everyone
is
friends with everyone.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The culture is so good.
Yeah.
So talking about the Point Cook game in a little bit more detail, sort of run us through it, because it was 0-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
A tough opponent. How tough was the game?
Yeah, despite winning 3-0, first half they dominated. They were like playing how we've been playing the whole season. And yeah, it was just a massive surprise. As a defender, it was definitely one of the most challenging opponents to come against. Like, they challenge us. Oh, I've never run so much in a game this season yet.
I think it was almost like playing ourselves. Like, I was, because I'm just recovering from injury, I was on the bench most of the time, and it was for me, it was it's like watching our team play. Like, they're very technical. They're passing a lot. Their passes were really good. their gameplay was styled out really well. Compared to a lot of the other teams we play, I feel like a lot of other teams in this league are more focused on using their body and kind of being a bit more rough, whereas this team, we're kind of like us, we just focus on the ball and our game. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sounds like it was a good game then.
Yeah, it was a really good game to play. Best game of the season for sure.
Yeah.
And so nil all at halftime, but then what changed in the second half?
Sean gave us a bit of a spray in the changing room.
Bit of a rev up?
Yeah.
I think that definitely revved us up a bit.
Yeah. It seemed to work. It paid off. Yeah, it did. It did.
It definitely did.
So talk us through the goals. So two goals midway through the half.
And an own goal?
Was that late at the end?
Yeah, that was really unfortunate.
They definitely didn't deserve that at all, you know, because they played so well throughout the whole game. They didn't deserve that. So, I don't know, it was a bit heartbreaking to see, to be honest. But, I mean, we definitely deserved those two goals that we scored. We still played our game, especially second half. We came out firing a lot more. We were playing like us again. So I think that's how we really got those goals.
I understand Penny came off the bench in the second half and had a bit of an impact.
I think
first half she came on for maybe about 10 minutes with myself.
All right.
And then started off again and then came back on and, yeah, she changed the game for sure in the midfield there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourselves. So you're both playing at Avondale this season, but this isn't the first time you've actually played together. Where were you before?
So we were at Essendon before. We played with each other for 4 years there. Yeah, with a couple of other girls from also Avondale.
Yeah, so there's four of us girls from Essendon Royals that decided to make the move. Two of the girls didn't play last year at all, but Sally and I both played last year and for the past 4 years too. And those other two girls we've played since basically day dot, so...
And this is a question we've asked everyone this season. I mean, why Avondale? Why did you choose to come over to this club particularly?
I wanted to move from Essendon. I wasn't enjoying myself there anymore. I live in Avondale Heights and I saw that they were had a senior women's team. So, I thought I'd give it a go. Mm-hmm. And some of the other girls wanted to as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think I wanted to move... I wanted to play a bit more socially, whereas I guess State One is a fantastic league, of course. It's the highest league for community, but it was nice to kind of, I wanted to drop down a bit. Now, both of us coming out of school, we wanted to, you know, focus a bit on work and it made it a bit easier. But, I mean, now that we have such a strong team, it hasn't really made it that much easier. But it's actually nice to know that I'm going to training and we're training hard and we're going into the games hard as well. And that's just, it's a big difference compared to the past few years at our old club. It's a really good difference, especially with the way that, with the community at Avondale, everyone is, it's like, we actually feel like we're a part of a family, which is, I think, really important to us, and that's what we were lacking. I think that was probably the biggest reason why we moved.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that there were four of you that moved. How do you reckon it's important or handy that you guys have played together before? Like, how much does that factor into playing together again this year?
Yeah, I definitely think it's helped.
Yeah. Well, we have Sally and Laura both in the back line, and myself and Ariane in the attacking, and, you know, Ariane and I... No, it's like we can read each other's minds throughout
the game. That's
kind
of like me and Laura as well,
Yeah, and then Sally and I will be on the wing together.
Yeah.
And then, we just kind of, we already know how each other play, but now that we've played with all the other girls, we know how everyone else plays as well.
Yeah.
Looking into the rest of the year, so we've got a week off this week, and then we come back against Maribyrnong Swifts the week after. How are we looking going in towards the back end of the season, do you reckon?
Looking good. It's always undefeated. Looking good. Yeah.
Looking good, but we don't want to get our heads too big.
Yeah.
Because obviously that we definitely want to go the whole season undefeated. I think that's definitely our biggest goal. Our biggest goal is to win the season, obviously, but being undefeated will just be the icing on the cake.
What do you reckon our biggest strength as a team is this year? Or has been?
Has been. I think it's just the vibe, the culture.
Lifting each other up. Yeah. We are constantly lifting each other up and high-fiving. And, you know, if Sean doesn't see us high-fiving,
we get a spray.
Yeah. For sure. So we are always getting around each other and giving each other high fives and, you know, giving each other advice as well. I think that's really important to be able to take constructive criticism from your teammates.
Is that something you're actually – is that with celebrating goals or just generally throughout the match?
No, throughout
just
training,
trainings.
After warm-up, after stretching, after passing.
High-five each other.
Yeah.
We should do that, Josh, just
get the, you know,
good segue,
chemistry up in the radio studio.
Good question, high-five.
Yeah, I
reckon. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's not great radio, but, you know, maybe Branson needs a self-esteem boost from time to time. So if we could just all get around Branson this week, I think we'd appreciate it.
I was very confused before when Scott – said he was doing well. I don't know why, but that just sort of threw me. I said, thanks for sticking around. He said, yeah, no problem. And that was it. I don't know what happened, but I was like, just taken aback. A high five would have perked me up. That would have been good.
I think the whole club could probably take a leaf out of the senior women's team's book at the moment. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Thank you so much for coming in. Unfortunately, we're running out of time a little bit, but it's a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. Come down to our games.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the next game, we do have a week off, but then we do have a home game after that on Sunday, July 14th at Doyle Street. We are taking on the Maribyrnong Swifts at 1 p.m. So week off this week and then back in action at home the week after.
We have a couple of events we have to mention before we go, Branson.
Yes, we do. We've got a couple. We've got a sportsman's night coming up, so it's going to be huge. Can't miss event coming up in August. It's going to be a great evening, and the night will be hosted by special guest MC Adam Peacock with comedian Gabrielle Rossi providing entertainment throughout the night. It'll be held at the Lunacaron Parkville on Thursday, the 15th of August, kicking off at 6:30 p.m. Ticket information is available on the website and on our Facebook page as well. And another event coming up in August, we have our August President's Lunch, which will be on Saturday, the 17th of August, before a huge home game against Heidelberg, our final home game of the year, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in the Members' Lounge. More information on how to get tickets on that coming up soon. But taking a look at the weekend ahead, we have the men's team we mentioned before taking on the Melbourne Knights at Knight Stadium on Friday night, kickoff at 7:45 p.m. Our senior women's team have a week off, as do the junior NPL boys week off as well. I think the only team in action, I believe, is the under 12 girls who are taking on Williamstown in the catch up round. But have you ladies got anything planned for the weekend off?
I've got a ball on.
A ball?
Yes.
Nice. Good
yes,
fun.
So I'm glad I have the Sunday off.
Yeah, works out well then.
Nicely timed.
Yeah. It'll be a nice Sunday. Hopefully the weather's nice so you can go exploring. Or I'll probably go watch my mates play at different clubs, to be honest. That's what I like doing my Sundays off.
Yeah, good. And even if the weather's terrible, you'll at least be able to go, do you know what, I don't have to play in that. So that's going to be a good thing as well.
Exactly right.
Well, Branson, before we go, prediction for this Friday's game, senior men's taking on the Melbourne Knights at Knight Stadium.
I reckon we will get a 2-0 victory, a well-deserved, hard-fought but crucial 2-0 win.
I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win. I just quietly, like, the Melbourne Knights are not actually on a very good run of form. But,
no, not in the league, no.
But it seems to be that, you know, they get up for these games against Avondale, got some sort of chip on their shoulder. So, you know,
I think
it'll be a physical game. It'll be a hard-fought game, but I would say Avondale will come away with a 2-1 win. That's all we've got time for tonight on Avenger Radio. But Branson, thank you for joining me in the co-host chair.
No worries, Josh. Thanks for hanging out.
And thanks for you two for coming into the studio and joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We will see you again next week. Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.